Oh, it's just getting worse by the day, isn't it? Maybe I should hand in my resignation.
Oh man, I'm concerned now. I mean, it's kind of exciting, but it's also very concerning.
It's cool. It's like it's as exciting as it is any time Bayern get a new coach. Like the situation around it is like it's a little bit more, I don't want to say iffy, but I'm excited to see what happens. Like I'm hoping that Flick is gonna do something, kind of like make some drastic changes. Like I don't know, maybe he will start playing three at the back. I don't know.
That would be nice, man. That would be nice.
I feel it needs to be like a drastic change. Like whoever the next manager is, like he should just be banned from playing like 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. Like there just needs to be like, okay, we're doing it this way.
I'm just really afraid of the next news we're getting, like assigning some kind of, well, some kind of coach who's obviously not going to work out. I mean, that might happen any day.
Yeah.
Well, I don't guess there's any need for me to re-record an introduction. So, welcome everyone to the 51st episode of the Super Bayern podcast. As you've probably picked up on by now, Bayern Munich have fired Niko Kovac. Unfortunately, just minutes, seconds almost before we planned to record. So this news has really been sprung on us at the last second. But we'll go ahead and just get into that. Bayern have fired Kovac. Tim, as probably our staunchest pro-Niko Kovac member of the Super Bayern podcast, can you maybe summarize the events that have led up to this occasion?
Well, I personally think that he can turn this around. No, that's not happening. Like I'm a defender of him in so much as I'll defend him against everybody that says that this is all exclusively his fault. I think there are a number of problems at the club, like complacency. They're playing with an attitude that maybe they don't necessarily deserve. Maybe some people are still kind of coasting off the success of 2013. It's not the same club at all. Like it's not even close. There's only a couple of players left from that era. Like I guess what's happened over the past few weeks is that I put this to somebody on Twitter or Reddit, maybe I think, where I said that Kovac is the sort of player Kovac can cope at Bayern, but you Bayern are a club that need a manager to thrive. There's a huge difference between like getting results and getting the right results. Is anybody because like okay he's through in the say he's not there anymore, but Bayern are still in the Champions League. Like they're still looking like they're going to finish first in the Champions League. They're still in the cup. They're only a few points off of first place after 10 games. Like it isn't exactly a woeful situation to be in, but it's a situation that is simply not good enough for Bayern. I like Kovac. I would happily take him back, not right away. Obviously, like there needs to be some sort of buffer zone between now and then. I'd happily take him back in the in like several years from now when he's when he's a better coach, when he's a better tactician, when he's maybe sorted out his whole PR nonsense. Because I think like the press conferences is really what people started to turn on him for. Because I think there is some semblance of him being a halfway decent manager. But right now, Bayern don't need that. Like no club the size of Bayern or with the aspirations of Bayern need a manager that can be halfway decent. You need to be whole way decent.
Whole way decent. That's the
All the way
criteria
decent.
for being
That's me.
the Bayern
Would you believe
manager.
I want to be a writer when I'm older?
Well, to I guess this gives us an excuse to not have to talk so much about Saturday's game, which is a good thing because it was just abysmal from start to finish. It was absolutely terrible from Bayern Munich. It was one of those that once the game ended, you just kind of everyone knew, okay, Kovac is gone. Whether or not he lasts the week, and he gets the game against Dortmund before he's gone, the writing was on the wall, so to say. Like, that was his last real chance to show himself as Bayern coach. And apparently he's resigned so that way he doesn't have to see out the rest of the week, just knowing that the bad news is going to come eventually. So I do respect his decision to go ahead and get out of the way. Hansi Flick is going to fill in as interim manager for the time being. But Sebastian, do you have anything to add to what Tim said about Niko Kovac and what led to his demise, I guess, as Bayern coach? Like, what was his biggest downfall?
Well, yeah, I guess we were all kind of Kovac supporters in a way, at least in the kind of online presence of Bayern fans. I think we were all definitely on the Kovac supporting side here, I believe. And yeah, I must say, I did not see this coming this way. I think we talked about this last week, and I was pretty confident that it would not happen as fast as it turned out it would now, I have to say. So I guess I might need to talk a bit about this last game, even if it's not so great to talk about it, because it was really just how devastating this game was. I really did not see a game like that coming. What I did see coming were further boring games where that would be very contested and you would not be sure if it's going to work out in the end or if it's going to be a close win or a close loss or a draw or whatever, that would just not impress us at all. And that's what I saw coming, and that's what I thought would eventually lead to Kovac getting fired maybe at some point. But I really did not see a game like this one. And I was really very, very frustrated, because I think, of course, there was a lot of bad luck, but yeah, I think Kovac set this team up to possibly fail with starting a lineup where you basically needed to completely control the game to be able to have a good game in that one. And then, of course, when you're down, when you're down one center back, and then try to do the same thing, try to control 11 men with only having 10 on your side for like basically what's kind of 90 minutes. Yeah, I think that was very frustrating. And the stubbornness with certain things, I guess that's what has been a huge problem with Kovac. Yeah, I guess I'm still quite baffled that how quickly things develop now, and I'm still trying to come to conclusions. Yeah, I'm very shocked still, I guess.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, talking about yesterday's game. It's almost as if that one match highlighted all of the bad things about Niko Kovac's tenure at Bayern Munich. So, granted, Niklas Süle and Lucas Hernandez are out injured, but defensively, Bayern were just all over the place. You know, there was no solidity at all. Boateng got sent off after, you know, 10 to 12 minutes, but you still kind of got the feeling that even if he wasn't on the pitch, the same thing would have happened. Bayern's defense was just hardly even existent, and Frankfurt tore them apart. The lineup, like you said, was really weird, really strange. This is something that we've seen a lot of from Niko Kovac. The substitutions were really disappointing. He didn't bring anyone on or take anyone off until basically the game was already decided. So it was kind of that one game shows a lot of the stuff, really highlights a lot of the stuff where Niko Kovac fell short. But yeah, like you said, a week ago from right now, if you would have said that, you know, Niko Kovac would have already been fired, I don't really think any of us would have believed you. We would have taken the odds on that one. But that does, I guess, kind of go to show how quickly things can turn around. And I guess he wasn't technically fired. He did resign. But still, he was going out either way. Now, Tim, we have to kind of ask ourselves, now that Niko Kovac is gone, is this going to solve all of the problems for Bayern Munich? Because I have a feeling that I already know what your answer is going to be.
No, it will not. I couldn't pinpoint it. Obviously, like, if the guy who's in charge of making the decisions makes decisions that result in bad games, bad performances, bad results, then yeah, it's, you know, it's quite obvious that that is like one of the cogs that needs to be removed, or I guess like one of the spanners in the cogs. I don't know. I'm not a mechanic, nor am I a football manager, but having him on the sideline, having him be the face of Bayern, doing all the press conferences, obviously, if there are any problems, it's he is going to be the first person that you point at. So while getting rid of him would maybe solve some of the issues, there's clearly a problem within this squad that we've seen with Ancelotti. Kind of, we saw glimpses of it with Guardiola. You can really get the impression that there are key players in this squad that seem to make the calls based on what they want. And for the most part, managers are kind of, I guess, kind of futile. They're just kind of there to take the credit at the end. So I always have to think back to that Real Madrid game back in 2014, where Real Madrid beat us 4-0 because the players said, we want to do it our way. And Guardiola, who's normally so stubborn with saying, we do things this way, win or lose, as long as we're doing it the way that I want to. And it was absolutely atrocious. Then on top of that, you get all of the discussions of like, oh, it's just hero ball, like there's no tactical whatever. That's very much on the side. But in terms of problems at the club, I think this didn't start with like a couple of bad results. It didn't start with like the draw against Augsburg last season. This started several years ago. This started when, well, for a start, I would say it probably began when Bayern didn't offer Guardiola anything that he wanted to stay. I know he's quite a divisive character in Bayern's modern history, but when you have that sort of tool at your disposal, you should do whatever it takes to keep him. And if it meant, like, who in a million years would, well, specifically, who in the past 10 years would have said, hey, would you rather work for Bayern Munich or would you rather work for Manchester City? Nobody would ever say, oh yeah, I really want to work for Manchester City. They were a complete nothing club until, okay, yeah, they've got like some history, like more so than what other people say, but they offered him unlimited funds and freedom to do more or less whatever he wanted to. As such, he's there, he's having a great time, and Bayern without an identity, and kind of have been since he left. Like, we had that, I guess, like three quarters of a season with Jupp Heynckes, but even he was just kind of there just to like pad it out, and just because he probably had nothing to do because he was enjoying his second retirement. There is a problem within the club that goes far beyond whoever the manager is. And it's a shame that Niko Kovac was the guy that is going to get the most blame. He does definitely deserve like some of the blame. Like, he's made some really bad decisions tactically, like whether or not people want to admit that he has had some tactical input. Not all of it's been great, so moving swiftly on. Like lineups, substitutions, like in-game management, yeah, he has fallen short. But beyond that, there's really a number of other things in terms of like players making choices and the club not investing when it should have done, like letting people like Robin and Ribery stay for way too long, not having suitable replacements afterwards. And he's just had to put up with it.
I guess one of the frustrating things for me about situations like this is that Niko Kovac leaves and so many people just see him as a bad manager. And I don't think that's the case. I think that he still really is a very good manager. As a matter of fact, I could see him going on to a team like what I would call, I guess, a tier two or tier three team in Europe, or maybe even in Germany. I think Bayern Munich may have just been a bit too big of a club for him. So I can see him going somewhere like Bayer Leverkusen, who could be looking for a new coach very soon. Maybe even Cologne, who are struggling a lot in the Bundesliga right now. Teams basically on the same level as Frankfurt. I can see him going there and really being a success. I think he's that type of coach. Someone who can go to a upper mid-table team and really push them forward, really grow them and make them better. And coming into Bayern Munich, I would think he, you know, hoped to do the same thing with Bayern, but in Europe to kind of push us forward, to make us bigger across the continent. And it just didn't work out for him for various reasons. Like you said, Tim, it wasn't all his fault, but he does have to take some of the blame. But I think I can speak for all of us when we say that we definitely wish him the best, and we have no hard feelings about his time at Bayern Munich. An interesting question to kind of look at, Sebastian, regarding this whole situation is, you know, who in the squad do you think benefits from this the most?
That's an interesting question. There are several names, I guess, that would come to mind. One is probably Thomas Müller. He has already gotten to a better form now and has found his place in the squad again somewhat, but I guess he could be a very central piece under a different coach. He could be one of our most important players. So that would be one, I think, that spontaneously comes to mind there. Of course, you could also think of Lars Lucas May. He might finally get a chance now. That would be very, very interesting, I think. Those are, I think, the first ones that I would think of there. But there are so many possibilities, and it's really a bit tough to judge. Also, the question is who is going to be that coach, obviously. Under Hansi Flick, I very much think that this could be young players, maybe also Thomas Müller, probably, I think. But I think especially the young players, maybe. Of course, we have no idea right now if Hansi Flick is going to be there for a game or two or three or four, or if he's going to be our coach for the rest of the season. So this might very well change there. I don't think that Niko Kovac was against any of the players, and it was obviously such a small squad that there weren't really players that were completely out of it, completely with no chance to get playing time anyway. So I guess it's not as huge of a situation in terms of who's getting playing time than it would be if we had a squad with like 10 more players. But yeah, I'm very, very curious if Flick is going to be our coach for more than a week or two, because I think he's a very interesting guy. He has a long history with the German national team, of course, and I guess that's going to be very, very interesting. But I kind of dread the next news we are getting on this, because I really fear we're going to get some coach in way too quickly just to have one. And I really, really fear that that's going to be awful, because that could mean a whole lot of new problems for us. So I really hope that those first Flick games are going to be good, trending upwards, clear wins, especially, of course, against Dortmund. I'm really concerned about that, I guess.
One player I thought you were going to mention that I guess I'll mention is Javi Martinez. I think that Niko Kovac going probably means some good things for him. Hopefully we get to see more of him in the starting lineup. And hopefully our next coach can get more out of Thiago. Maybe even this could be a bad thing for Thiago, who is one of Niko Kovac's favorites, I think, in midfield. But let's go ahead and look at the potential successors to Niko Kovac, Sebastian, since you have already brought that up. Like you said, Hansi Flick is taking over as the interim manager for at least the next two games. But then after that comes an international break. And with an international break, we could see a lot of different names be brought in. Unfortunately, there's not really a standout available manager that I think we would all just say, we should definitely bring him in. So we're looking at guys like, Arsene Wenger, maybe, Jose Mourinho, Laurent Blanc, Max Allegri. That's another name that has been thrown around. Out of those, Tim, or any other, I guess, available manager that you can think of, is there anyone that you would say, Bayern really need to go for that guy, really need to do their best to make him their next manager?
In terms of people who are available, no. I think all of the available managers currently have something going for them. So like guys like you mentioned, like Arsene Wenger, Max Allegri, Jose Mourinho, those are like the three that I would say that should be on Bayern's radar. But at the same time, none of them should be on Bayern's radar. Like that, they are the sort of level that I think Bayern should be aiming for, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So Max Allegri kind of has a reputation for like bottling big games. and like what he did at Milan is kind of evident that if he doesn't have a lot of money pumped into his squad, he can't really do an awful lot with it. Now, he's fortunate. He was fortunate at Juventus. I think he won the Scudetto like four times in a row, four or five. I can't remember. But he won the Scudetto every year. But it just really highlighted the difference in quality between the team that has the most money and can bring in star players in Juventus and everybody else. He just happened to be at the helm. I don't think he's necessarily a bad manager, but he's not as good as his CV would perhaps make it out to be. Guys like Arsene Wenger, like 10 years ago, yeah, I would kind of be all over that. He's the sort of player that can, you know, build a bit of a dynasty. It's been a hectic hour, so apologies for the mispronunciation. I think that traits like longevity are so undervalued in football managers. And if you were to, okay, it's nothing like what Bayern are going through, but if you were to look at teams that, I guess like in the Premiership, teams that constantly are on the verge of relegation, kind of like the bottom quarter, so from like 20 to, I don't know, like 17 or so, like the people that are always like teasing with relegation, they always seem to just go through the same cycle of managers. It's like I was going to call him Pardiola. Alan Pardew's there. Neil Warnock shows up. Big Samuel Aladici, Sam Allardyce. There's like all of these people essentially just kind of get like tossed around to say, okay, now you can go manage there and you can go manage there, and then you can swap later on. And that's fine for like getting somebody in like Big Sam is fine if you just want to like be safe from relegation, because he can do that. And then what happens? You're stuck with Big Sam for a year. Great. That's a terrible situation to be in. Whereas somebody like Arsene Wenger has kind of gone through like so many different iterations of that Arsenal squad. And the fact that he always kept them in contention. Like he was always right at the top. He never had any absolute like horror stories. He, of course, stayed for far too long, but he was always good at keeping Arsenal like in the conversation for top four, which like in the Premiership, that's hugely impressive. And I think gets overlooked quite a lot. And then you have Mourinho. There is a part of me that wants to see it, if only just through sheer curiosity, because I think I would kind of like to see him for the remainder of this year and then leave forever. I think he is the sort of person that can come in, steady a ship. Like he's the sort of player that he's the sort of manager that players will listen to and will respect, because he is a hugely influential person in football. But it is Mourinho.
Tim, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm so anti Jose Mourinho. I really cannot stand the guy, but I can sympathize with what you're saying. That's the scary part. Like I completely understand the appeal of, okay, maybe we let him in and see what he does for a little bit, you know, let him come in for the rest of the year. We've talked off the podcast before, you know, at the very least, it would be very entertaining having him come in.
And ultimately, that's what we're after here.
Yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, he's been so public about the fact that he's learning German and, you know, dropping those hints like, oh, I've coached in all of the top leagues across Europe except for the Bundesliga, you know, on and on with stuff like that. So part of me thinks that he's almost the most realistic candidate at the moment. Which is mostly scary, but a very, very slightly bit exciting almost. I hate to say it, really, but anyway, you can pick back up with where you're at.
Well, I kind of don't want to.
I mean, and then I do sort of agree about Arsene Wenger. I think you make a great point. If this was 10 years ago, then yeah, great. Let's bring him in, give him a shot. But the man just turned 70 years old. So I mean, I know Jupp Heynckes was older and he came in to manage, but there's a bit of a difference between Jupp Heynckes and his standing with Bayern Munich than, you know, Arsene Wenger at 70 years old, having never worked with the club before. And, you know, going to that longevity, that is a big issue, and that's something that you want. And bringing in Wenger at this stage in his life, probably not the best idea.
I guess that's the one thing I could see with Wenger, that we just bring him in for the rest of the year, maybe, if he would be down for that. I guess that's more realistic than Mourinho agreeing to something like that, even if he has been talking about Germany a lot, I guess. I don't think you can sign Mourinho without giving him a longer contract and, yeah, without buying him some fancy new players, I suppose. And I guess, we really don't want that. For me, Mourinho, he's in the same tier that I would see Klinsmann and Matthäus, actually. So that's not the tier you want to be in. I guess that's not a secret or not hard to figure out. I really think that's a very awful idea, really.
That is a bad tier to be a part of.
Yeah,
there's not great company there.
It is, yeah.
So I think I was going to say, Sebastian, what would you suggest then?
I really think we should just wait it out with Hansi Flick, of course. But I think if we would want to sign one now, I guess I would really go with Laurent Blanc. I guess he's decent. I mean, he's more of an unknown, I guess, from a German perspective. Of course, I would like if he knew any German, which he probably doesn't. At least there's no record of him speaking any German, but maybe he's capable of learning German in a more quiet manner than Mourinho is, you know, really. But yeah, I guess he brings more to the table than most of the others. I think he was fine when he was at PSG. I think that was pretty much all right. The others really don't impress me at all. Mourinho, just in terms of culture, you really don't want to do that. Mourinho is the guy who would ruin this club for years to come, I feel, and would ruined the image, would ruin everything we love about this FC Bayern. So I really cannot see that. And Allegri, I mean, I don't know, that would be like all the other very, very successful Italian coaches in the Bundesliga, which are basically none, I guess.
It begins and ends with Trapattoni, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that is not exactly very, very successful, I suppose. So yeah, I mean, Nevio Scala, I think, was there. And, of course, we had one. But, yeah, it's really not a success story. And I think that is not so much about the individual managers. It's really more about the different culture and about different approaches to the game and different approaches to managing. So I'm really not a fan of that. And really, other than that, the options are very, very limited. I really don't know who's the German coach I actually would prefer, because when you say it out loud, it just gets ridiculous. I think the most high-profile guys out there are probably Heiko Herrlich and Roger Schmidt, who is not really German, but he's German-speaking, I believe, right? So, yeah, that's really everything. Not really so great. That's why I think Laurent Blanc is the best out of not really great options. I would definitely say we need to stick with Hanik. We need to see this through for the rest of the season. Maybe get another caretaker kind of figure in if that doesn't work out, because I think we are not going to get our new coach for the next couple of years during the season. I don't believe that any of the guys I would want to see here would do that in the winter. I just can't imagine, really.
Well, Sebastian, you didn't mention Ralf Rangnick, who has been linked with the job from the media, but I think that his relationship with those, you know, behind the scenes at the club pretty much makes it to where we won't be seeing him come in. So if Heiko Herrlich's our best option, then we definitely have to branch away from German options, I would say.
Yeah, I guess I left Rangnick out because I don't really see him as a coach so much anymore. He's really more of a whatever. He's had different roles,
right?
And I really don't see him as a full-time coach anymore.
I think we have to say that, you know, everyone's probably waiting on us to say this, that we would probably all agree that someone like Erik ten Hag coming in the summer or the winter would, of course, be ideal. And I think you alluded to this, Sebastian, you know, he's not a realistic option at the moment. I don't think there's any way he leaves Ajax over the international break. And, you know, part of me would just say that if I don't want our next Bayern coach to kind of treat his current club that way, I wouldn't want him to leave Ajax in the middle of the season just because of the kind of character flaws that would show. So I would agree. Probably our best option is, let's hope Hansi Flick works out and we can hold out until end of the season, possibly winter, and bring in someone like Erik ten Hag, who would probably be my first choice. But let's say that Flick loses against Olympiacos with Bayern, and then the same thing happens this weekend against Dortmund. It just goes really, really poorly, Tim. Is there anyone else you could bring up, or would you say that, you know, maybe Bayern do need to bite the bullet on one of these guys?
I don't think there is. I think the only thing that maybe could happen that I really would not be surprised at is if there's a dog somewhere in suburban Germany that's about to bark. Poor Kando. I don't want Jupp Heynckes to come back. He doesn't deserve it. Let this guy rest. He probably would, though. He seems far too nice. I couldn't imagine any other coach. Basically, I think kind of what Sebastian was saying is a belief that I kind of alluded to, is that the next Bayern manager should also be the Bayern manager in 5 years' time. Like, we can't think, okay, so we'll have 3 years of this, then we'll have 2 years of that. We'll try an experiment of this guy. Oh, it didn't work out. Okay, back to basics. Like, I think, like, Bayern need to start thinking in terms of, like, long-term planning. Okay, that's kind of been their downfall a little bit with guys like Ribery and Robin, who maybe should have gone earlier or at least been phased out slightly better. I think the next proper Bayern coach does need to be somebody like Erik ten Hag. But for this season, I think unless you can get Mourinho on that special, and of course it would be special with him, on that special contract where you say, okay, come June, you're gone. If he can agree to that, I would be genuinely really interested to see what happens. But at the moment, I think just focus on like getting wins. I think like play style, it can kind of go out the window at this point. You just need to get wins. Then again, saying that, if you just want to like grind out wins, then maybe sacking Kovac wasn't the best idea in the world. I don't know. Willy Sanyol, what's he doing?
He's probably still on contract at Bayern Munich somewhere or the other.
That is the dream, isn't it? That's the dream job.
I mean, with Mourinho, one of you said you think it's more likely that we get Wenger for the end of the year and not Mourinho, but I'd probably disagree. I think that we might could get Mourinho for a year, but I think that we would have to tell him that it's, you know, okay, you're only hired until the end of the season, but we will keep the option open to hire you long term. I think we could, not that, you know, this is something we should be desperate to convince him to do, but I think Bayern could convince him to do that. But you know, with Mourinho, you're only getting 3 years, and then that third year is not going to go how you want it to go. So he's not that, unless he's made some drastic changes to his personality and to how he plans to approach managing a club, he's not that long-term, you know, five-year option. And he's also not the person that we want right now to try and integrate youth into the squad, because like you said, he's going to come in and say, okay, I want whoever it is, Leroy Sané, some big name signing in the winter with another one alongside that. And then he'll, you know, run out guys like maybe Thomas Muller, maybe run out someone like David Alaba, someone who's been there for a long time. So there's definitely some risks, especially going into it thinking that he is possibly a long-term type of coach.
I think with that, the idea of having him in for longer, one thing that I would, without any caveat, be really interested and quite excited about is if you get him in the club as director of football. So I think the knowledge that he regularly displays about the game and the fierce loyalty that he inspires in his players, yes, he has fallings out. he has falling outs with. My goodness. He has issues with some players. Let's just put it that way. He has issues with players like Pogba, Iker Casillas at Madrid. Like he does have his problems. Everybody has his problems, but because of who he is as a person, it gets amplified so much more. But having somebody like him next to whoever the manager is to say, listen to this guy, buy into what he's saying, to have him, you know, go and scout players, to have him be an attraction to the club, having him in the club in some capacity is hugely valuable. So if it isn't, if I was to, you know, do a Rio Ferdinand and say, put the contract down, write down whatever numbers it is, what I would do, I'd give him the contract to say, okay, manage until the 30th of June or 31st, I can't remember the calendar. And then after that, here's a 3-year contract to be director of football for Bayern. I genuinely don't think that's too bad of an idea.
You just can't have his skill without his personality, though. I guess we would be in a PSG kind of situation then, with the coach fighting with what was that role of that Spanish guy? I forget, but I guess you know what I mean. And if there's one thing we don't want to have, it's more infighting between different people on the club, like Hoeneß and Rummenigge and Salihamidžić trying to get more importance, and I think that would just make things way worse, and I really don't want to see that. I guess I think what we need is people, well, working on the same things, everybody going in the same direction, no more of this nonsense. I guess that's what I really would want there. So I would first and foremost, I would want a coach that everybody wants, and not a coach that one guy manages the others to agree to, but a guy that nobody can later say, okay, so that was his guy. I just said, okay, but it was never my guy. That's not a kind of situation I would want again right now. I think that we can't want that right now.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, because Uli Hoeneß will no longer be the Bayern Munich president in, like 2 weeks or something like that. So, it'll be interesting to see if they try and rush this decision and get someone that Hoeneß and everyone else agrees with, or if they delay and they say, okay, we'll wait till, you know, the next president comes in, and we'll let him have a say-so in the decision. That's something that I'm really wanting to see how that plays out, because I can't see Hoeneß not wanting to take the opportunity to make one final manager appointment before he leaves. I can't see him saying or leaving, you know, with Bayern in this sort of state where they don't have a manager, where they don't have a plan, I don't think he'd want to do that. So maybe even he decides to run for president again. I wouldn't be totally shocked to see that, to see him go back on that if it's not too late. So part of me thinks that, you know, we're going to see a concrete, firm, permanent decision before Hoeneß's time runs up as Bayern president, which I think is November 15th even.
Well, I guess this makes a lot of sense on the one hand, but on the other hand, I think Rummenigge is much more the kind of guy who would sign any high-profile coach. Mm-hmm. And I think Hoeneß would be way more careful. He has always been the guy who wants a German-speaking coach, and so on and so forth. So I think Hoeneß has always been more careful in these things than Rummenigge has. But I guess you still have a point there. I kind of agree that Hoeneß would probably... well, use his power to install a guy he thinks is going to be a solution for the future. I guess we could hope that could also mean having an agreement with Ten Hag behind the scenes, even now, just only for the summer. Maybe. Let's hope.
Yeah, that would be... Now, if Hoeneß made that his final move before leaving as Bayern president, that would be awesome. Okay, well, do either of you have anything to add to the Niko Kovac leaving Bayern Munich situation, the discussion about who might be coming next?
I've got no idea.
Yeah.
I've really wanted this guy to work out. I think he's exactly what Bayern needed. But yeah, this is, I love the idea of having, you know, an up and coming coach be at Bayern and I love the fact that he kind of overcame a lot of bad results at the beginning, turned it around, like 5-0 against Dortmund, like 6-0 against Gladbach, I think these were the results. Like heavy victories and then working everything back and then winning the double. I think that's so great and something that he should obviously take pride in. And I think a lot of people will say Bayern winning the double was probably like the worst thing that could have happened because it paper over the cracks in this team. No, it's two trophies. Just be grateful that the guy got two trophies when at one point it looked like he was going to get nothing. Yeah, we failed miserably in the Liverpool game, but then we carried on doing really, really well in the league, won that, did really well in the cup, in the cup final, the games leading up to it less so. But he's had, there are good moments to take away from this. And I think because of that, I would be so welcoming of him if he was to come back, I don't know, like 5-6 years down the line when Bayern probably will need to have another manager again. If he can have like 5 years, like 4 or 5 years at a club, like, as you said, like Leverkusen, I'd love to see him at Hertha Berlin. I think that would be such a cool club for him. Like being from Berlin, they're the sort of team that, like, he's got players like Ibisevic who are just going to fight whoever they see. I feel like those are the sort of players that he's going to need. I think he can do well. And it's just a shame that it hasn't worked out as well as we would have hoped for it to.
Yeah, definitely. And I definitely agree with your sentiment that hopefully or maybe in the future we could see him again as Bayern manager. And if so, then I hope it's less turbulent times at Bayern Munich for him and that he can come in and have the freedom to do what he wants and be successful in leading the club. Sebastian, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. I could even see him as a BVB coach. I think that might be a nice fit for Kovac in the future. That would be interesting. I think his kind of defiant attitude is much more at home at Borussia Dortmund than it is at FC Bayern. Usually, I think Bayern is, yeah, the mentality wise that has often been problematic. I think one of you pointed out the interviews before. I guess that would be quite interesting. And now, yeah, we can really only hope that it turns out the best for everyone involved. And I'm still very, very concerned over here. And I really just fear we're going to see the next news on the horizon very, very soon. I really hope it's going to work out. I guess there's one name I want to also mention before we finish this for today. You said before, I think your words were something like a guy like Ten Hag. The problem is there really aren't many guys like Ten Hag, right?
Right.
I think there are just two names that I can come up with that I would be kind of happy, I guess, in summer. And the other one is Mark van Bommel. Mark van Bommel could be very interesting because he's even more closely connected to FC Bayern than Ten Hag is. He doesn't have as much experience, of course, as Ten Hag has, but otherwise quite similar. He's obviously from the Netherlands too. He has that Bayern connection. He speaks German very well. So I guess that might be my number two guy, and I just definitely wanted to drop that before we leave off here. And I think he definitely has the right mentality. When I think about a former player or a coach or anything who has the right mentality for FC Bayern, Mark van Bommel is one of the first, I guess, I would come up with. He might have been a bit too aggressive at times when he still was a player, but I guess it only changes for the better getting older, so... Yeah, that would also be a very interesting guy. But beyond those two names, I would be hard-pressed to name a number three, I suppose.
Yeah, there's really just a dearth of good coaches who would be a great fit at Bayern Munich. And I agree. I think those two options are definitely right up there among the top. But that is going to wrap up this episode. Hopefully the next news that we see regarding Bayern Munich's manager is something that we can all be excited about, not something that we all kind of are a little disappointed in. But if you're a fan of the pod, or if you've enjoyed listening today, please do us a big favor and leave a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod, where you can get in touch with us there, or by emailing us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. You can find all of our episodes on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, we're probably there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.